it's so fun to talk about. We're going to talk about, if you don't mind, because I know we're in church, since we're having church, we're going to talk about spiritual things, like spiritual things. And I thought that'd be really good, just kind of see how, because I think it's, you know, for all the church that we can do and go to, we can forget, like, it can be really practical and stuff like that, but sometimes we can miss this part of life that we don't understand a lot, but people get really excited about it, or it makes for really good movies, but sometimes we don't understand how all that kind of stuff works or the reality of all. So today, if you don't mind, I'd like to jump into the Word with you guys and talk about what it's like on the other side, or like the Spirit and stuff. That'd be pretty good. But let's do this. Now, Mark said that we're going to be doing this this play at the end of the month, right? And it looks like it's going to be pretty funky fresh. And I'm actually really excited about it. And they made like this promo that kind of leads it all in, kind of wraps into what we're talking about, how you can get some insight on the way things really are beyond a physical, and how it interacts together and stuff. And I was pretty stoked about it. So you got to bring a friend out and kind of take a look at what it's going to be like. But if you want to sneak peek about the other side, I'd like you to divert your attention to the screens behind me as we show you this promotion. Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited about it because if music tells me anything, I don't know. I just want to know who's there. I don't know who's there. Who's there? Who's there? I don't know. Somebody. You have to be there to find out. Thank you, Aspen. I appreciate that. It's a creepy clown. I've seen those movies before, and it's super weird. Oh, it's real life because clowns are creepy. Man, it's pretty nuts to see that and to realize, oh man, I don't know, I don't know how many people you talk to, and I don't know how reliable your sources are, but I've heard a lot of really weird stories, and I've seen some weird stuff. You know, being a pastor and a Christian and things like that, even being a part of the mission field, I haven't been like to Africa or anything like that, but I've been a couple different places, and just seeing God do some of the things that he does and knowing people that I trust and hearing how God worked in their lives in so many different arenas. I believe that you cannot deny that there is a spiritual side of life. And I don't know how much you guys know or understand about that, or if spiritual things are just something that we see on some type of horror movie. But I believe what the Bible says when it talks about the interaction of a physical world and a spiritual world. So let's do this. Let's go ahead, and I want you guys in your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Colossians, into the book of Colossians over on the right-hand side of the Bible, and I want to pray and jump into this. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, as we're turning to Colossians, as we're getting into your Word. God, I pray with this short time that we have, Lord, I pray that you would cause us to understand and see things in our lives the way you see them. God, that things that seem mysterious, or God, things that seem like fairy tales, or God, things that just seem incredulous, God, God, I pray that you would show us what the truth is about them. God, that we can make, as young people, good decisions. God, that we can treat our families the way you want us to. God, that we would be aware of the places we go, the things we see, and the things that we take as our own. Lord, that we would be able to live a life that's filled with joy. Live a life that's filled with bringing other people's joy. God, that we can live a life that changes people's lives. And God, that we can go places that we never thought we can go because you've led us to the amazing. So, Father, we just lay this time before you, God. In the short time, Lord, we ask that you would teach us as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say,
amen.
So, okay, so in Colossians 1, there's this verse, right? In Colossians 1, 16 and 17, the Bible says, now, for through him, that's Jesus, through Jesus, God created everything. Everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made things that you can see and the things that you can't see. Things like thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, and the unseen world. Everything that was created through him. Everything was created through him and for him. He, God, Jesus, he existed before anything else. And it says that, this is kind of a cool part. It says he holds all of creation together. I mean, God's in charge. You just can't compare. That's the breakdown, the breakdown. You have everything that is, and then you have God that wasn't made, uncreated. He's outside the system, and he made everything. Now, the crazy thing is that it talks about two different sides. You got the seen and the unseen. And, you know, we're very familiar with the physical world, right? I mean, that's because, I mean, you're here. You're sitting in that chair. Maybe it's cold for you. Maybe your shoes are a little too tight, you know. Maybe you just can smell the person behind you. Maybe your tummy is a little gurgly from the Taco Bell you had not too long ago. I mean, we're all very familiar with the fact that you have probably too much homework in too many classes. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, and maybe you're very familiar with the fact that you have to do two-a-days for the upcoming football game. I mean, it's just wearing on your body. And we're all very familiar with the physical world. But the problem is this, is that oftentimes, is we become so familiar with all this physical world that you could see and interact with and that you know about, is that we miss the spiritual part. Because if you believe in God, then you have to believe in a spiritual world. And it's not science fiction, it's not fairy tale, it's not unicorns and pixies, but the two of them interact. Because, well, you got a spirit, right? You got a soul, right? So that means your body, you, your person, interacts in two different places. And there's times where if you don't feed yourself spiritually, then it affects your world through depression, through having hard times, unforgiveness. I mean, those matters are not just physical things. Those are spiritual things, right? Because God works in our bodies and he works in the spiritual part of us. The Bible says that God made two places. He made the seen and the unseen. It says that the unseen is even more real than the seen because he made it first, right? I mean, God created everything that you can't see, and then he created the world. I mean, just think about it. In the beginning of the Bible, you know, it says that there God was, just chilling, and then he made all the world we can see. The Bible tells us that the angels, that his the unseen was watching over as God created everything. And it's kind of crazy to think that. And the problem is we have a hard time believing it because if you can't see it, then it must not be real. But I just don't think that's good enough. I don't think that's a good enough reason not to believe in something, right? There's a little boy in Kenya right now. No, excuse me, Uganda. Kenya's a different kid. But in Uganda, there's a little boy named Moses in Uganda. And I know he's real because my sister-in-law took care of him when he was first born. When he was born, he was this big, like full term, right? He was smaller than a water bottle. And Beth, my sister-in-law, took care of him for 6 months when she was on a mission trip over there. Now, I've never seen him before. And you're hearing me tell you a story about a little kid, and he's a little chubby guy now, real cute. But you've never seen him. But that doesn't mean he's not real. And we treat God that way too, or this spiritual world that has an influence on our lives. Well, I can't see it. You know, you can't measure it. Does it have weight? Where is it really? I don't know. Because we don't have the words to describe it, right? Describe the indescribable, right? Tell me how that one works. I don't know. Beats me. We don't have words for it yet. So, you know, we have to be able to get past this. And God speaks this truth to us. It says that through him, through Jesus, God created everything in the heavenly and the earth, in the heavenly realm and the earth realm. Now, here's the problem, is what the heck does that mean for you, right? Like, okay, there's spirits, there's angels. Wait, what? So what? what does that mean for third period tomorrow, right? Who cares? Who cares if I'm fighting with my mom? Well, here's why that matters. It all matters because the way you interact with that part of reality can affect this part of reality. And if you don't know and recognize that, then you're only playing with half a deck, right? I mean, imagine trying to play cards with no red cards, just a deck of black cards. You'd be missing half the deck. You can only do half as much. You can only go as half as far and get half as many pairs for go fish. And you want to mess with no go fish. So people miss it all the time in the way that they interact or don't interact with the spiritual world. See, this is why people don't pray, because they don't think it works, because they're not tapped in to the other side of their life. This is why when people have problems they can't get over, this is why they can't get over it, because they're only tapped into half of their life. When people have a hard time at church or when their families are going through problems, this is the reason that we don't know how to fix them, is because we're only dealing with half a deck. We don't know how to interact and work with that other part, the part that God desires us to connect to through our prayer life, through our faith, through interacting with these things, through understanding the different ways that our life is connected with these different areas of reality. So it says over here in a couple chapters after in Colossians, it says, look, you've been raised into new life with Christ. Jesus changed your life. It says, now you need to set your life, set your eyes, set your sight on what? The reality of heaven. Heaven where Jesus Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. See, since you're alive, if you call yourself a Christian in this place, or if you just want to do something good for God, then you need to recognize and realize that you need to set your sights on heaven. So let's talk about this. Because ultimately, in your life, your life experience will be determined by what you welcome into your life. What you let into your life determines what you'll get out of your life. And a lot of times in our lives, we don't have a healthy spiritual life. We allow things into our lives. We allow experiences and people into our lives that are spiritually toxic. They're deadly. They're disgusting. And they may look good on the outside. They may have everything that we want on the outside, but on the inside, their connection to this reality is disgusting and raunchy. It's bad. You see, I hate to put it this way, but it's kind of like the old rule of the vampire, right? A vampire can only come into your house if you let him in, right? That was like old school. Those are like old school vampire rules, right? Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I'm not up to date with the sparkling vampires, but I know the old vampire stories. Yeah. That's the way it works. Okay, I don't do the sparkle, but that's how it goes. If you invite them in, they can come in. That's the way it works, right? In the same way with our life, there's this story of this man named Cain in the Bible, and God talks to him and says, Cain, you need to watch out because the way you're living, sin is crouching at the door. It's like waiting to get you. And if you don't do things right, it's going to get you. It's going to take you out and it's going to take you down. You see, in your life, the enemy is waiting to take us to a place that we don't want to go. He's waiting to offer us something that looks good, but it's poison. And he's waiting to capture us. He's waiting to influence us and persuade us to go ways that we ought not to go. And the problem is that we don't recognize it and we fall into the trap. I hate when people surprise me and scare me. Do you guys have that one friend that thinks it's really funny to walk up behind you and just go, boo! Like, don't you hate that guy? It was funny the first time. The fifth time, it's not funny. I had a friend who would do that every time. And, like, literally, he would say, he would, like, wait on the other side of the corner. Boo! And he would just, I'm like, stop it, Isaac! Stop it! Drive me nuts. To this day, drives me nuts. And he moved away. And he hasn't done it since. Anyway, that's exactly what the enemy has in store for us. Every time you do something bad, I'm not saying that's like the devil, but I am saying this. is that we can say things like, how come bad things happen to good people? Do you know why? Because there's more than just what you see. Because there's a spiritual world that's making decisions, just like we live in a physical world where we make decisions, right? The decisions your teachers make on which books to assign you determines how well this year will go. They made decisions that affect your life. In the same way, the spiritual world is making decisions. Who are we going to take out? Where are we going to go? Which areas are we going to tempt somebody in? And we have to be able to understand these things. It says, we've been raised to a new life. So we need to set our eyes on the reality of heaven. It says this in verse 2. It says, now think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. We're dead to this life. And our real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we'll share in all of God's glory. So it begins to say, put to death these things, sinful things, earthly things that are lurking within us. Does it have anything to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires? It goes on with this list of all these things we shouldn't be a part of. Why? Because the things that we do that are spiritual affect us physically. And we've got to be careful to make the right decisions and allow the right things into our life. See, the things that you experience will be happening in your life because you've welcomed them. If you find yourself depressed, if you find yourself hating yourself, if you find yourself stressed out and anxious all the time, if you find yourself getting angry at your parents for dumb little things, I'm going to tell you, you need to check your heart and check what things you've been letting into your life. Who have you been taking advice from? What things have you been putting in front of you? You know, what? Look, now, before I start become the 1980s parent, just take it for what it's worth. What music are you listening to? Because you're feeding your heart something. And what you welcome into your life is what's going to lead you in your life. And see, here's the other thing that we get caught up with is that we need to recognize that we belong. We need to glorify. We need to put importance on life, not death. And this is kind of a crazy thing because and I don't want to get too pushy with this, but what happens is we live in a world that's really fascinated by death, right? And it's bizarre. It loves death. And I'm not going to go off and say, you know, don't watch this, or this. But I am going to say this is you need to watch the things that you become fascinated with. Because when you get fascinated with death or gore or things that are dark and evil, what happens is you begin to get a steady diet of those things. And it begins to affect the way that you look at this world, the things that you fixate on. You know, and you know, that's between you and your mom is how you feel about zombies and vampires and all that kind of stuff. That's between you and your mom, okay? But I will tell you this, because I'm going to let you make that decision between you, Jesus, and your mom. But what happens is when you begin to feed yourself things that put death on a high priority, you don't be surprised when that becomes the way you think about yourself and your future. I'm going to tell you this, you know, I've just become an old man and made decisions. I don't watch certain movies. I don't look at certain things. I just don't go certain places. And you know what? Come Halloween, my kids are not going to be zombies and they're not going to have like axes in their head and stuff like that. Because number one, it'd probably freak out my son. He's like 5. But secondly, because it's just not my thing. The Bible tells me that death is defeated. So why I want to celebrate it? If death has been defeated, why I want to make it number one in my life? Why do I want that a part of who I am? Because I don't want death. I want life. I want to celebrate the good things that God's done, not the dead things that this world is doing. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't get me wrong. I'll play Call of Duty and Halo and Cap a Fool. I'll do that. But it's not something that I've become so focused on that it becomes my thing where I'm obsessed with things that are dead and rotting and dying, things that are dark and things that are overly like wickedly mysterious and magical. It's just not my world, man. I live in a world where Jesus Christ raises the dead. I live in a world where things are broken and being destroyed, that Jesus Christ brings healing to that. I live in a world where Jesus Christ, the Bible says he took the keys of death and hell and he cast it down. My Bible tells me that Jesus killed death, okay? So why I want to have that be a part of my life? See, I belong in the world of the living. I don't belong in the world of the dead. I don't belong there, so I'm not going to glorify death. Why do I want to be a part of that? The Bible says in Colossians, back there, it says, we've been raised to a new life in Christ. The Bible says that he's come to give us life abundantly, and the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. If it steals, kills, or destroys, that's not my world. That's not the world I want to live in, because I get mad when people take my stuff. Don't touch my stuff, man. Don't touch my coffee. Don't touch my beard. Don't touch my shoes. Don't touch my money. And don't touch my phone. We won't have problems. Right? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God came to give me life, life more abundantly. That's the world I want to be in. The Bible says in Colossians 3:10, this whole chapter is killer, man. It's in verse 10, it says, put on a new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become like him. Oh, that's just so good. Somebody need to memorize that this week. Oh, that's so good. Put on a new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator. Oh, and that next part, as you learn to know your creator. And the next part, as you learn to know your creator. Oh, the next part, as you learn to know the creator. And the next part, and become like him. Oh, that's good. Somebody needs to say amen on that one. All right, thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate the token amen. But it's really good, right? Like, I get to know Jesus so I can be like Jesus. That's crazy. You get to know Jesus so you can be like Jesus? Brother asked me, why not? Why not? That's the question of the night. Why not? Because? No, the question is, okay, I'm going to do that. That's the answer to why not. I'm going to do that. See, you guys know what your bedroom looks like, right? You've been there before? Like, that's where you go when you're mad at everybody, right? Is that where you go? In the bathroom? Okay, that's your spot right there, the bathroom? Yeah, just checking Instagram. In the bathroom, the closet. All right, okay, there you go. Everybody got their spot, right? That's where you're comfortable. Maybe a laundry room, maybe it's out in the back, on a hike, on your mountain bike, whatever the case is. You know, everybody got their space, right? That's your safe place, right? That's where you go to retreat, where you go to focus yourself, line up your chakras, you know, do your thing, and don't do that. That's your spot. Chances are maybe you got your posters there, you got your drawings there, you got like your little like your Christmas lights around all year round around your room. You got that one blanket. You know you got your pillow pet there. Come on. You know you got your pillow pet there. You've been hanging on that thing since you were 6 years old and you still sleeping on your pillow pet. Mm-hmm. See, you don't got to lie to kick it. It's still cool. It's still cool. And you know, if we ever do a sleepover here, you bring it. I know it because you take it to camp. I know it. I know it. And that's your spot. That's your comfort place, right? That's got all the things that make you think of all your good, happy thoughts. See, it's attractive to you wherever that spot is. And see, the way I want to live my life, if God is spirit, catch this, if God is spirit, and if I'm supposed to know my creator so I can be like my creator, then you've got to surround yourself with things that God likes, right? You've got to surround yourself with things that God likes so you become attractive to God. And if we live a life that's filled with death and destruction, Jesus don't want a part in that. Last time I checked, when Jesus and death met, it did not look good for death. So if I put things that are alive and living in my life, if I'm creating and not destroying, if I'm building and not tearing people down, then all of a sudden my life begins to attract God to me. That's the life I want, to know my creator, ooh, and to be like him. You see, I like I said, and you've got to make a choice in your life. How light is my world going to be? How much darkness am I going to allow into it? How much life am I going to surround myself with? How much death am I going to allow into my life? Because what you experience is the things that you welcome and ask into your life. See, Pastor Richard Dean Villanueva Jr., I belong in the land of the living, not the world of death. That's a world I don't want to be a part of. Because if God is a God of life and life abundantly, then I want to attract him into my life so I can welcome in his presence, his goodness. So when depression begins, when loneliness, when I begin to question if I'm doing the right thing, then God's spirit begins to put me in the place I got to be. He begins to put me in a place I got to be. Hey, just like your bedroom or wherever your spot is, it's attractive to you because it has the things that you want around it. Maybe that's the refrigerator. I don't know. I just need what's in there in me, already in my belly right there. Some Kraft macaroni. It's attractive to you. I want to be attractive to God's presence. I love it. It says over here, it says in verse 16, Colossians 3:16, it says, let the message about Jesus and all its richness fill your life. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom that God gives. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs of God with thankful hearts. It says in verse 17, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of Jesus, giving thanks through him, through the God the Father. Hey, if you guys got something out of God, let's give him praise. Here's what we're going to do. Okay, so let's look at